Well, here we are talking about coaching. I'm Yannick. I'm here with Nikki and Sebas. And today we have an interesting question, which kind of just emerged quite organically, which is about metaphors in coaching, and particularly what kind of metaphors we can use to explain what coaching is. Some of these are kind of life metaphors, but like it's really powerful to explain what coaching is using a metaphor rather than like a theoretical concept or school of thought. When we work with non-coaches, when we work with people who have never heard of coaching, maybe, and they got into a conversation, it was interesting, you know, they're like, oh, this person, they're a coach. Well, what's coaching? You know, so we figured, why don't we share a bit about what our favorite metaphors are?
Nice.
And like something sprung up for all of us. So we figured, let's just share them. Nikki, the surfing bit came up because you asked like, hey, how are you? And I was like, I'm riding the wave. It's such a rich metaphor for life. But you're using it as a metaphor for coaching as well.
Oh, now actually, as a metaphor for coaching, I haven't thought about it so much, but let me tell you what I have been thinking. Actually, I'm just in Belgium right now, and I was walking on the beach the other day, and it just kind of came to my mind again, the metaphor of surfing as such a kind of a rich metaphor for the experience of life. And certainly the way in which I thought about it, I think certainly comes into coaching. You know, and like the whole metaphor of riding the wave, I guess it's about the unpredictability of life and kind of like the tides and the water, kind of, you know, you never know what's going to be thrown at you on any given day. And it's about kind of meeting that with a sense of openness and kind of welcoming what comes at the moment. And I guess in that sense, you know, bringing that into coaching, it's kind of not coming in with, as the coach, perhaps with an agenda, but as the client as well, and just kind of being open to the experience and surrendering to the kind of, to the process. And kind of having that trust and that faith in the process, or in surfing, kind of, you know, in the energy of the universe and that kind of thing. So, you know, riding the wave, that's certainly one way I think about that. Mm-hmm. Another thing I really like about surfing that I think about in terms of coaching, or could think about in terms of coaching, is kind of the idea of, you know, when you paddle out for a surf, and you don't know what's going to come, but sometimes something really big and scary comes, like a really big wave, and you're just in the wrong position to catch that wave. And worse still, it's going to slam that down right on you. You know, the best piece of advice I ever got is counterintuitive. It's first of all, don't panic, but don't turn your back to the wave and paddle away. Like paddle straight for it, kind of face your fear. And the best thing you can do is paddle full pelt towards it. I say full pelt, but save some breath for kind of going under the water. And I think, again, that's such a rich metaphor for life and for coaching. You know, it's about facing our problems, about facing our fear with bravery and with courage.
And lean into it, but paddle into it.
Exactly. Because I think, you know, paddling away, running away, or turning your back to your problems is never kind of going to help you in the long run. You know, these things are always going to come back to kick you in the face, or in the case of surfing, you know, slam you under the water and twirl you around and hold you under, which is really not a nice experience. So,
and I guess better face it frontwards than it kicks you in the back.
Yeah, for sure. What else was I thinking about surfing? I mean, there's another one that I think is really powerful. I notice it in myself so strongly when I'm in the water, you know, when I'm looking around and I'm trying to gauge where I should be, and like, oh, the best surf is on the left, I'm going to paddle there. And then I'm like, shit, now the better surfs, the waves are on the right, I'm going to paddle back. And I just find myself constantly paddling back and forth to the point that I never catch a wave, because it's that kind of the grass is always greener mindset and like the lack of focus. And I think it just, you know, it has the power to reveal something about your way of operating in life. And I'm like, oh shit, is that what I'm doing in life? Like sometimes, am I trying too hard? Am I constantly having my eyes on too many places and not really zoning in on one thing? And I think, again, you could say the same for coaching. And sometimes I notice it in myself as a coach, but certainly also about the, you know, being a client in coaching. It's about, you know, finding a way of like narrowing down your focus. And I was actually just reading about the power of focus this morning, and the importance of kind of, you know, we can have many things and it's great to tackle them, but sometimes perhaps the best way of tackling them, other than having an overview, is definitely to zone in on one thing at a time and to put in that focus that allows you to actually make a move forward And like I said, it's about not spreading yourself too thinly, about acknowledging the bigger picture and everything that factors in, but then also to have the commitment and the focus to engage with one situation whilst always remaining open. So those are a few of the ones I think that come to my mind.
Yeah, what I really like about the surfing metaphor is that it really doesn't matter so much what you surf. I think when we think of surfing, there is this inherent kind of want that, I want to like surf the perfect wave, or I got to get into the tunnel because that's how you surf well. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen over and over again, and having been surfing, it's like, I've never surfed a tunnel, but I had so much fun. You know, I was like at a spot where I could wade into the water, and I didn't have to paddle so much. I didn't have the strength in my arms yet. But there was a spot down in south of France where you could actually walk most of the way, and the waves weren't huge, but they didn't need to be because I was just learning. And if you pick the right kind of wave or the right kind of spot, then, you know, the challenge matches your skill level. And as you grow better with skills, you can surf bigger waves or more difficult spots. Mm-hmm. As you develop more strength in your arms, you can, you know, surf different spots and different styles. Mm-hmm. Then also it says so much about how a person engages with life. You know, some people want to surf the biggest waves and they just throw themselves in there and they take all the risks, you know, and other people, they're just like very slowly, baby steps, they, you know, go get a teacher or a coach, you know, and they do a bunch of training. They watch all the YouTube videos. They like prepare themselves. They like sit at the beach and watch the waves come in and see how the sets work and, you know, watch other surfers and learn from studying. And then they go out when they feel safe enough or skilled enough to actually go out there and do some surfing. So I kind of like looking at how a client is engaging with life in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, are they the person who's studying first? Are they the person who just throw themselves in? How do they manage when they fail, when they get wiped out, which is, you know, inevitable in surfing? Mm-hmm. How do they deal with that? Do they paddle straight back out, or do they sit at the beach and beat themselves up? Do they stop surfing? Mm-hmm. And I think when the coach comes in, it's quite interesting because a coach will not, they cannot surf for you. You know, they cannot, sometimes they can give you some tips on how to do certain things. Sometimes they can give you a push to get into the wave. So it can really, really help. But ultimately, the coach will not always be there. You know, the idea is that you learn to surf and that you surf the kind of waves that you like to surf and that you feel capable of surfing. And, you know, you go at your own speed. You know, if you want to surf small waves for the rest of your life and have super much fun, get a really big surfboard that doesn't need a lot of paddling, and you just, you know, get a longboard and you do some dancing around and like, you know, or do you get a shortboard and get really fit and surf really big waves and get a crew and go big wave tow-in surfing? You know, there's so many different ways of engaging with the ocean, and everybody has to find their own style. There's no rules in surfing. Mm-hmm.
Really well put. Yeah, I love that, Yannick. That's really inspiring. And I think the way you related that, especially, you know, the surf coaching again, I was just thinking, you know, yeah, a surf coach insofar when I've had them, what they really focus on is they observe you and your moves. And then kind of, you know, like in the coaching process, they kind of challenge you to improve on that, but cater to you, you know, so it doesn't have to be directive. And again, you know, thinking of coaching, that fits so perfectly.
Oh, yeah, and like if somebody videos you, and I had that in snowboarding quite a lot, because like somebody took videos and then you watched yourself, which is basically the reflecting back in coaching. Mm-hmm. You can see yourself doing the thing, you know, from the outside, from an outside perspective. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I didn't realize I was leaning back so much, or I didn't realize I was waving my arm around so much. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to do anything other than reflecting back what you're doing. You know, and so especially in things like snowboarding and surfing, this is why I like them so much. Many other sports, somebody figured it out and wrote a book about it. And then they have the methodology that got things into the Olympics. And this is the most effective way of doing the sport, you know, and in surfing and snowboarding, that just doesn't really exist. I mean, it does to some extent in terms of how you can get the most speed or how you can get the most rotation. There's some tutorials and there is perhaps a way that you get more effective rotation, but there is no best surfing. I never understood the competitions. How can you do, How can you be the best surfer? How can you be the best snowboarder? It just, there's so many facets of it and so many different styles. And these are sports that celebrate style, and they celebrate diversity, and they celebrate difference. You know, so if somebody who just sticks out and they have a radically different way of engaging with a mountain or the ocean, you know, then that tends to get celebrated. That's why I love them, you know, because like it's, that's what life is. You know, you just kind of go through life and you do your thing. And if you're radically different, maybe you don't win the competitions, but do you care about the competition or do you care about having fun? In surfing and snowboarding and skating, they were always about that. You know, so I quite like that as a life metaphor. And if you look at the coach cannot tell you how to do things. The coach can only facilitate you celebrating your own style and living life or doing the sport like you want to do it.
Really groovy.
Groovy. Sivash, have you been surfing?
No, I've actually never done surfing. It's something that I've always liked to do. Something that I want to come back to, you know, I think... Nick, you mentioned like facing the fear, facing the wave, right? Now, it sounds really courageous, but really thinking about it, the first thing I would do is, you know, go the opposite way. So what is really behind that? Why do you recommend to actually go into the wave?
I mean, in surfing, simply because you need the momentum to go against the direction of the wave. And the best way to go through a wave is to go towards it and under, because the circular motion of the water will kind of help you go under. Whilst if the wave crashes on you or down on you, it's the equivalent of tons and tons of like weight in terms of pressure. And it kind of, what it will do is like flip you out of control and hold you underwater for prolonged periods of time. And that's just the worst feeling when you're out of control. You have no sense of bearings up and down, and you can't go up against the force of the water, and you just panic and feel like you're running out of breath, which makes you run out of breath even faster. So it's really important to stay calm, control your breathing, and with as much momentum as you can, paddle towards the wave and go through and under, ideally. Yeah.
This is amazing, because if you understand the problem that's coming towards you, the wave isn't the problem. The wave is actually what you're looking to ride. But if if you're not well positioned, then it can become a real problem. But if you understand the so-called problem, then you can simple thing, like I'm going to dive into it, and very easily you're behind the wave and it's fine. But if you don't understand what's coming towards you, then you try to fight it at the surface level and it's just going to smash you. Yeah. So studying what the challenge and what the problem is that's coming towards you, you know, in life is going to potentially lead to solutions that very easily get that past you. And if you position yourself towards the problem, right, then you can actually ride that problem and it can be the most fun.
Yeah. I mean, that problem is actually aptly called the impact zone. So what you want to do is you want to get out of the impact zone, because the main next thing is that after one big wave, there's usually a set of six more to come. So if you don't get through the first, you've got probably seven waves pummeling you through the water. And yeah, again, that's not the nicest.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So face your fears, face your problems.
And also like when you know that, oh, that was the first in six, you know, rather than putting all of your strength into pedaling through the next one, you know, maybe you just have to hold your breath for a little while and ride this one out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can actually see how you could take a group or even an individual, you know, a coaching client, how you can take someone surfing and actually use these metaphors in real life with them.
Nice.
Yeah. I always wanted to do snowboard camps. So if anybody's out there is listening and you always like wanted to put any retreats on, I'm happy to coach, because I've done some amazing coaching on chairlifts. Because in snowboarding and skiing, you ride a mountain and then you have this way up where you have some time to reflect and there's nowhere to go. And you just sit there and you're still like pumped from adrenaline that you had going down. But you can start reflecting. Or if you have a coach next to you, they're like, oh, what was that? Or I saw you move like this. Or how does that feel when you did this? You know, what made you choose this line and not the other? Did you notice that person that was right behind you? So you can ask all of these reflective questions. And when you see somebody move their body in surfing or snowboarding in most sports, you see an embodied version of how somebody approaches life. Mm. Often that's how they approach business and career and relationships as well. Mm. You know, so you can see somebody's very authentic self coming through how they get down a mountain, especially if it's like dangerous or risky situations or group situations. So I always wanted to do those kind of retreats where you can see somebody ride, and then you have that reflection time going up the mountain. And then you have a very relaxed after the activity, sitting at the beach or, you know, sitting in the mountain hut or whatever other place that is, and feeling great because you've moved your body all day. But also you're in that reflective state where the coach can really add a ton of value.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I'd love to come to one of those retreats. But yeah, the key terms that jumped out for me there were kind of the expansion of awareness and also the presence that's part of the process. And that sounds like in snowboarding, as in surfing, that's so important. And actually those activities mm-hmm. really kind of force you into that realm, which again, mm-hmm. I think makes them so powerful and so potent. Yeah. In themselves, in this metaphor.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, in both situations, right, whether it's the snowboarding or the surfing, is the use of the body, mm-hmm. right? A lot of times coaching is so focused on just engaging the mind, but when we start engaging the body, we take coaching to a whole different level. Mm. You know, I've been recently learning more about somatics, and I think it's really useful to get people out of their, you know, to get them moving the body in terms of, I mean, you can probably see how someone is walking up the mountain or some the posture that they have, right? It's a reflection usually of how they're thinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very direct line of communication, you know? And I think when it's going downhill at high speeds, what happens is that you don't have any time to think. You act very instinctively mm-hmm. because you have to act very quickly. And if you ride at that challenge skill balance, you know, at that threshold where you don't have time to consider things, you're just so constantly doing stuff, mm-hmm. then there is no lying, you know, there is no pretending. Mm-hmm. Your body is just going to do what the body does very intuitively, and that brings up some very real stuff, you know. And if you then take time to reflect, which most people don't do. They don't reflect on what's just happened and why did I do those things? Whoa, look at that coming out of me. I didn't know that was in me. That's a really rich, fertile learning space.
Really nice. That was a rich metaphor. I think you guys had some too, though. I've been itching to hear more of what you're thinking.
Yeah, I think one that keeps coming back is the one around driving. And I'm sure most coaches will have come across that in some way or the other. But it's a metaphor that keeps on giving in my experience. Every time I talk about it, there's some new dimension that emerges. Just yesterday, I gave a talk at the London Coaching Group, and somebody mentioned that came up as a comparison of between coaching and therapy. And he said, well, whereas therapy is like making a U-turn and going back and spending some time there, whereas coaching keeps going forward, but you kind of check the rear mirror and you acknowledge what's in the back. You see what's there, but you don't go there. You keep going forward, you know. So that was already quite rich. But I just love it in terms of life. I like it because there's some people who are on the motorway and they just want to get to that destination as quickly as possible. And perhaps some take some time to optimize their car or, you know, prepare so they can get the fastest ride and then get there very quickly. You know, maybe it's quicker to save up on the car and then go very quickly or pick it up around the corner. Maybe you just go whatever car you have and you go on the motorway and you just go for it. But if it breaks down, maybe it's going to take longer. You know, so there's already some thinking space in terms of where do you want to go. But then, well, do you take the motorway? Do you take the scenic route? Do you even have a direction? Or do you just kind of go and you explore? You know, if you're on a road trip, sometimes I just want to get to Venice and I want to get there as quickly as possible because I only have that much time in my holiday, you know. But maybe the best time would happen if I kind of going to the direction of Venice, and maybe I'll never get there, but you know, the best holiday happens along the way. It's like, oh, look at that. Should we check that out? You know, then you take an exit and all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of nowhere meeting the most amazing people. Or you think you have a pretty good time and then you come back home and somebody says, oh my God, did you see Venice? What an amazing city, the most beautiful place I've ever been. And we're like, no, we didn't make it to Venice. Shit, maybe we should have gone. Maybe we should have taken the motorway. So again, there is no right way of approaching your holiday. There is no right way of approaching life. So that's what I really like about that. And as the coach comes in, I find myself on the passenger seat. You know, in some areas I know, you know, some areas I'm quite familiar with. If we're going through this whole Euro trip with my client, I find myself on the passenger seat. Once we drive through Mexico, through Germany, interesting lapsus, because my wife's Mexican, so I don't know Mexico that well. But if we drive through Germany, I'll probably know some spots that might be really worth seeing. You know, I might have some local knowledge, and I would say, hey, I know this place around the corner. If you take a right here, it's like this and that. How does that sound to you? Do you want to check that out? You know, and maybe they want to go see it because I have some local knowledge and there's probably a good experience there. But most of the time we're going to drive through countries I've never been or parts of Germany I've never been. So I can only be there and hold space for them, be that fellow traveler, you know, possibly be like, oh, did you see that? That looked interesting. You know, and maybe they saw it or maybe they didn't because they were focused on the road. You know, maybe that was really interesting. Maybe they choose to go there, maybe not. And it's like, I you said you were hungry. I just noticed a restaurant. You know, it's not saying that you have to go to the restaurant, you should eat. But it's like, hey, you mentioned you could use a bite and you clearly didn't see the restaurant because you were focused on the road. Let me just, you know, invite your attention to go over there. Maybe I have a map or maybe I help you draw a map. Maybe I help you make decisions where your direction or goal is, or you know where you might want to go and how you want to get there and how it might affect you. Maybe I can hear a little rattling and I just happen to know that this sound means that your gear stick is about to go or you know your tire is about to burst. And I can tell because I'm very experienced with cars, you know, and then say, hey, do you hear that? What do you think that is? Or I might say, mate, your tire is about to burst. You really want to go to the next garage and have that checked out, you know? So this is where sometimes we have knowledge and sometimes we don't. Often we're a fellow traveler, but the fellow traveler can also offer some advice depending on what they know or don't know. You know, ultimately you're in charge, you're at the wheel and you're going to drive this car. You know, you decide if you want to take good care of your car or what your risk is. It's like, nah, I think I'm going to try and make it to the next gas station. You know, I might pee myself, but maybe not. So, you know, that's up to you. You know, if you pee yourself, that's on you. I mean, there might be a smell, but I'm actually out of the car for most of this time. So
I love that. I mean, I didn't expect it to be quite that rich, but the way you just put that across was just beautiful. Yeah, I totally see that. And I feel like I got so much from that. That's a really awesome metaphor. Two things that came up for me. I don't know if they're that potent, but was you know, the idea of having a sat nav as one other thing. You know, do you take kind of the conventional route, the like, you know, what's laid out for you? Or so that's one thing. And the other thing was the idea of like toll roads, you know, like, yeah, do you invest in someone like a coach and take the toll road because it's going to get you somewhere faster or more directly or something. I don't know, just to add to that. But I love that.
In France, you have to, like the motorway costs money. So there's always, you decide whether you're going to take the slightly longer route that is like the normal motorway. And then there's the fast track.
I use driving also in coaching, and specifically around setting goals. And I think it's such a great metaphor to bring. So I use Uber a lot. And if you with our current flat, if you put your postcode, the Uber comes at the back of the house. And sometimes you're standing at the front of the house and you're waiting, there's no Uber, right? And in coaching, often what we do as coaches, we get really clear on the goal, but we don't get clear on where the client is. Mm-hmm. Right. And you can figure out the goal and you can figure out what all the challenges are. But if you don't figure out exactly where they are, sometimes it's going to be hard to get there. Mm-hmm. Right. So I always use this as a metaphor also for teaching coaches to get more effective. Like, make sure you get really clear on where they are right now. Like, if someone mm-hmm. wants to lose weight, well, where are they right now? How much, right? How much do they weigh right now? Right? If someone wants to increase their income, well, how much are they earning right now? You want to really understand like where someone is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think we can make that tangible by asking them, you know, where are you right now on a scale of 1 to 10,
mm-hmm.
right? So with a car, if we order a taxi or an Uber, that you don't even get picked up, so you never get to your destination.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and also you might not knowing where you are is also could be a lot richer than that. It's like really meeting your client, really figuring out who your mm-hmm. client is. You know, what are they bringing to the table? Are they ready in front of the house, bags packed? Or, you know, did they get lost? Are they at the back of the house? Are they not even dressed? You know, are you? What are you bringing? How ready are you to go on this trip? Because if you pack somebody who's naked on a trip to Venice, then there's going to be some issues. You know?
I think that's a beautiful metaphor. Yeah, especially, well, not that specific one, but, you know, even now, if you go into Uber, you don't have a mask, you can't go into the Uber, right? Mm. You know, one day I got away with just pulling my top up, and the guy was like, all right. But in general, like, if you're not prepared, mm-hmm. you can't take the ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's so important is, you know, asking questions around what have you tried so far,
yeah.
right? You know, tell me a bit more about, you know, how did you get here? Because often it's the choices that they made in the past. And I love the metaphor where you said, like, look in the rear view mirror, right? It's like, hey, what have you tried? Because the choice that we make gets us to where we are right now.
Yeah. One of the first, like, really, really successful coaches I've met, I met someone at a conference. He was a solution-focused coach from Switzerland. Amazing guy. I often talk about, like, things I've experienced in this kind of short demo that we've done together. He said he was a taxi driver in his former life. And he said, taxi drivers never ask you where you came from. You know, maybe later, you know, maybe as you have a little bit of a chat, as you're already on the road, but they ask you, where do you want to go? You know, so I quite like that that metaphor as well.
Mm, nice.
Oh, and the Uber thing just brought up as well that some people invest in London. We have black cabs. Black cabs are like the expensive ones that are where the drivers study what they call the knowledge. They study for 3 years and they know every street. You know, they have to know where every street starts and ends. Like quite a process. So they know the city. Uber drivers just put stuff in the sat nav and they drive, you know, not everybody. I'm sure some of them get to know the city extremely well, but like I noticed it myself. Once I had a sat nav, I didn't want one for a long time because I like map reading and I like to remember where I'm going and get there. But once I had a sat nav, I was just following the sat nav. You know, I didn't really remember how to get places anymore. I'll just follow the instructions, you know, so knowing how to operate, knowing how to navigate is such a great skill. And, some people they choose to invest in black cabs. They choose to pay, I don't know, almost twice as much or something, or at least 50% more, because they know there's somebody in there who knows the city inside out, you know. And if you enter the postcode, they will know that this postcode is on the front and not on the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, and I guess that's like a coach, right? Some coaches are like Uber drivers, and some coaches are like black cab drivers. They know that. Look, don't worry. If one road is blocked, we'll find another route. And I think that's such a great metaphor also for creating offers in your coaching program, right? Especially if you're kind of niched and you want to help people specifically around, you know, a specific thing like losing weight, you know, gaining more confidence. You know that, hey, they're going to go through certain obstacles. There's certain things on that road for me to get someone from, you know, from A to B. I know that there's going to be some roadworks. I know there's going to be like a dead end somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, I mean, some black cab driver coaches actually are Uber drivers who use satnavs, but they bought a black cab and it's really nice and cozy in there. And people are being seen to be driving a black cab, like being taken around by the black cab. But really, it's an Uber driver in there with no knowledge. But that's okay. They're still going to get you where you need to be. And like often you don't notice because, you know, you didn't see the roadworks or you were busy working. So you can actually give the impression, you know. So it's a rich metaphor as well, the Uber Black Cab thing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Another one I just thought of was sitting in traffic, but I couldn't find a good way. What could you say? Like, just sometimes you have to be patient and things take a long time to unpick.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Sitting in traffic was a massive moment of enlightenment at some point. When a friend, we were sitting in traffic and a friend told me about Stephen Covey's circle of influence and circle of concern. You know, when you're sitting in traffic, there is nothing you can do. You know, so I used to, when I'm late for something and I sit in traffic, I used to get like really nervous and anxious. And I wanted to get there. And at some point I'm like, well, I really care about getting there on time, but what can I actually influence? Mm-hmm. Am I willing to break the law, drive on the sidewalk, or like push people out of the way? Am I willing to go to that person in front of me and scream at them to get out of my way so I can get through? Am I going to do that with every car that's in the way? You know, or am I just going to accept that this is traffic and there's fuck all I can do about this? So I'm going to have to just ride it out. Mm. You know, you're sitting on a train, you're late for a flight. You really need to get there, but the train's not going to go any faster just because you want to. So at that point, I just completely dropped all of my anxiety. You know, it's like I'm still have some anxiety because I might miss the flight or I might be late for the meeting, but there's nothing I can do. So why get so wound up about it? You know, so just accept that you're doing the best you can right now. Consider whether there's something else you can do. You know, consider to ask the train driver to go faster. But like, if you decide that that's probably not going to work, you can still try, you know. But if you say, well, it's not going to happen, just, you know, start running when you arrive. But up until then, you don't really need to worry that much.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the same in life and in coaching, right? If someone's get delayed on the way to achieving their goal, they can either react or they can choose to respond in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think, you know, that's, I think, a really powerful metaphor there for sitting in traffic, because you can have two cars next to each other. One is cursing and maybe like breaking down the car, and the other person is just, you know, sitting mindfully, you know, maybe listening to some music.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A very different experience. But also, yeah, somebody who's getting really wound up and they really want to get somewhere, they probably afterwards think, how can I never be in that goddamn traffic again? What's a different route? And they sit down and they research and they ask people, what do you do with this traffic? Do you know any secret routes? So there is something there that after the experience, some people take action to never experience that again. Mm-hmm. And other people are just like, I'm just going to be stuck in traffic every day. That's just part of it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we mentioned a lot around this, and there's a few little ones that I can bring up. I think, you know, the way we use our body, the way we use, especially if we are, you know, working with high performers, they always want to go, 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 right? But you know that if you keep driving the car, at one point it's going to stop, right? You have to change the oil, or you have to fill the petrol, right? And I think that's so important. This is exactly what we need to do ourselves. We have to rest. We have to slow down. If you keep driving for hours and hours, and I've done that, you just like start falling asleep, right? And while you're driving,
it might literally kill you.
Yeah. And I think with bus drivers, I think they have they're only allowed to drive a certain amount of hours, right? After that, they have to take a break. And I think there's such an important thing is that our body gives us signals, you know. It's maybe not as like a little light going on, like, hey, you need to change your oil, but we can feel that, right? Last night I slept 3 hours, and, you know, the night before that I slept 3 hours, and last night I slept 8 hours and needed to sleep a bit earlier. We can feel, you know, the toll that it's having on our body.
And the coach can be that little light that goes on and says, your oil is pretty low from the looks of it. You decide whether you keep going or you change your oil. But I'm just saying, oil seems to be pretty low.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is maybe a whole different discussion, but I think coaching is less impactful if someone comes into a session and they're really tired and they're probably not in a state where they can take things, you know, where they can be really present. So that's maybe another thing that as a coach, we have a job there to actually bring that to the awareness of the client.
Yeah, and I had a car where the oil lamp just kept coming on, and it really worried me. And turns out it was broken, so I stopped trusting the coach, my coach car, and then I just kept ignoring it. So it just goes to show that we need that trusting relationship with our warning light lamp coach, you know, so that when they actually say something like that, we might take it seriously.
This is really good.
I used to
drive a really old car, so I keep investing in coaches because I want the Porsche, I want the Ferrari, I want to get places faster. And you know, I think that's such a great way of looking at it. You know, we have choices. We can drive in an old Mazda, or we can drive, you know, in a better car if we are willing to invest.
Yeah, and in the city, you drive them all at the same speed. You all get to the same places at the same time, but you travel in style, or you travel more comfortably, or you have an amazing sound system in the car, or you just get all the looks, you get the status, you know. So how you move and how you feel when you move, you know, maybe if your values are very much about functionality and you invest that money that you didn't spend on the Porsche somewhere where it's more meaningful to you, you know, and you ride around in an old Mazda and it works for you because you're the kind of person. And if you invest in the Porsche and you work very hard for it because you like the experience of driving in a Porsche, even if it's at 30 miles an hour in the city, you know, then that's worthwhile investing for you. So again, there's no right or wrong. There's certain ideals that society tries to communicate to us, you know, advertising or friends or parents, you know, and then you decide. And I think that's the power of coaching, that you decide how you want to move and you decide how you want to navigate and where you want to go. And then I'm going to be there and I'm going to, you know, help you make those decisions and own them and feel good about them. Any other kind of quick metaphors? We've been going for a little while, I think.
I think there's another metaphor that comes up a lot in my coaching. It's a hiking. And I start using this more as I start hiking more myself. So I've done hiking in Wales, Scotland. I did a 1-year training on this. I don't know why I signed up for that, but you know,
because you sign up for every training.
It's one of those things, you know, you sign up and you're like, oh my God, like who, you know, why the hell did I do this? So often when I'm up, going up the mountain, right, I'm like, yeah, I want to really reach that goal so I can share with people. Like I climbed the highest mountain in Scotland and you can't even see the top, right? And it's like so overwhelming. And every time I went there, you know, there was someone with me saying like, hey, you know what, just be present, just focus on the next step in front of you or look around you, right? And it's, you know, the most beautiful scenery. And you can just get really present and forget about the top. And before you know it, 4 or 5 hours later, you reach the top, you know? And I think that's, you know, so fitting in life and goals. You know, sometimes, you know, on the higher we go on the mountain, right? At one point we see the top, but then it becomes really foggy. Then you don't even see anything anymore. Right. You know, and sometimes, you know, we've had with a group that we went up the mountain that all of a sudden there's a hole and one person fell into the hole. Right. And then you have to all stop and we have to carry her up. Right. You know, and I think there's so many things that happen there on the way to the mountain. And also like so many emotions come up. Right. We had one guy that, you know, was running up, you know, had to be the first. We had a few people that were at the back, making sure that everyone is sticking together, that the whole group is getting to the top. And I think there's so many aspects that, you know, for me, it was super useful because it also really I get to know myself better. But what is really happening here? Why am I, you know, so impatient? And then you get to the top and it's, you know, the best feeling. But then, you know, you see another mountain. Oh my God, there's another mountain. Right, there's a higher mountain, or there's a bigger mountain there, or there's another mountain that looks really amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with goals. Sometimes we get there and we don't really get present to what we've achieved. And you know, you want to achieve another goal, often you have to come down the mountain. Mm-hmm. Right, and that again takes skills. Right, if you go too fast, you're gonna, you know, break down your knee. So there are so many things there that I think that's really useful. Mm-hmm. For me, often the main thing that I use is, how can I help my clients think bigger than, you know, they've thought before, but then how can I get them to take the smallest step forward,
mm-hmm.
like that tiny step forward, and then, you know, one tiny step at a time, you know, it compounds. Mm. They get to the top of the mountain.
That's very much the thing in mountaineering, especially when you get to very high altitudes, when it gets really challenging just to kind of move forward. Yes, you have the direction and the overarching goal of getting to the top, but you don't focus on that. You focus on the next step, you know, and you focus, you're being completely present with the next step, because if you're not, then your body is so exhausted at that point, you know, it's so prone to error if you're not fully present. Mm. You might hurt yourself and sometimes actually die, you know, so you really want to be completely present with that next step. But knowing that there is a direction, there is a goal that you want to get to.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And I think, you know, if you go, you have touristic mountains here in the UK, right, in Wales. Most of the mountains that are very famous, they've created paths where you see old people go there, you see young kids going up there, right? But then there are mountains where you don't really have a clear path because they're not the touristic. There you need to hire a Sherpa. Mm-hmm. Right, a Sherpa as a mountain guide. And actually, in coaching, I often, you know, describe myself as a Sherpa, right? And I know it's like, and again, we all see, you know, coaching in a different way. The reason I like this word Sherpa is because a Sherpa is someone that's gone up the mountain a few times and then comes down and can help people get up there,
mm-hmm.
you know, versus like, you know, the tour guide will sell you a ticket to Mexico or Brazil, but it's never been there, right? Maybe they're working in a little shop where they can sell you the tickets. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's, I think, also another metaphor for coaching is, you know, while I think as you develop amazing coaching skills, you can probably coach people, you know, in areas that you've never been, in places that you've never been to, right? But this for me, like, it's quite... yeah, I don't know. It just feels like really in alignment, helping people in terms of going up a journey that, you know, that I've walked,
mm-hmm.
that I've walked before. So I know like the obstacles that are there. I know some like the dangers that come there. Mm-hmm. And again, not necessarily telling them like, hey, you have to do this, but being really present with them. So while you know the journey, not necessarily telling them like, you need to go left here, you need to go right here, but just being able to hold the space for them because you know you've been through those the pains and the struggles and, you know, going up that mountain.
Yeah, I think that is a really good metaphor for the different kind of coaches that are out there, because some coaches will be Sherpas who have been up the mountain many, many times, and they can really make things a lot easier because they know the terrain. It's like the guy, like when we're driving through Germany and I actually know the place. You know, some coaches, they can come with you as your Sherpa to any mountain that they've never been to. You know, and they help you plan how you could get up there. Mm-hmm. You know, they help you figure out how you can navigate the landscape, even though they don't know the landscape at all. But they have been mountaineering, so they know stuff about hiking. You know, they know how to read maps, for example. And so we all bring different knowledge. But like some coaches, they operate in a space that they know extremely well. And some coaches help you operate in a space that they've never been to, but they know the principles of navigating, you know, and that's what they bring to the table. So, you know, it depends on what kind of coach you are and find a good metaphor that works for you. You know, maybe you have a map. Maybe you're in the passenger seat. Maybe you're the one in the driver's seat and you take them for a ride and then you drop them off somewhere where they can get that Porsche. You know, so I think coaches out there, if you find your metaphor for the kind of style of coach that you are, you have something very powerful, very tangible to communicate to your clients. Mm-hmm. And then they get it. They get what kind of coach you are and they get where the difference is between other coaches they might have met.
Nice. One thing that I just thought of in relation to that mountain metaphor, and I came across it, I think, in relation to like Zen philosophy. So it gets quite commonly used there, but it's the idea of one mountain and one destination, which I guess for most people climbing a mountain or scaling a mountain is the top, but the idea of there being infinitely many routes, right? And that, you know, each client will have their own preferences and their own abilities and their own specific, you know, steps they take, their own route to get to the top. But, you know, anyone at the bottom has that ability and that potential to scale the mountain in their own way. And again, that Sherpa, I guess, you know, accompanies them, and whether they choose the route through the forest or up like a glacier wall or just through lots of rubble or just fields of grass, you know, the Sherpa kind of can support them and guide them, provide them kind of the, yeah, what they need to best enjoy their journey and get to the top.
Yeah. And what do you want? Do you want to get to the top? Do you want to take a picture at the top? Do you want to have an experience getting to the top? Do you want to find yourself along the way of getting to the top? Do you want to win the competition of getting to the top first? Do you just want to make it to the top? Is there a time limit? Do you not actually care about the top, but you're just kind of tagging along because your friends are going to the top? Like, what are you here for? What do you seek the coaching for? You know, and really spend some time talking about why do you want to get there? Why are you on this journey? And then given the motivation, that's probably going to be a very different journey.
Cool. I love that.
Also keeps on giving. I'm sure there's plenty of more metaphors around like running and around the differences between coaching and therapy, riding a bike. There's so many of them. But I think for now, maybe we put a pause here. Maybe we can pick that back up.
Yeah, it'd be great if some people maybe shared some of their metaphors that they found useful.
Yeah,
I would love that.
I'd love to hear.
A quick last story, because I just came up in a coaching session recently. I was working with a coach just recently qualified. Actually, she's in the middle of her coaching diploma. And she said, you know what, I really struggle with coaching. We were coaching for a bit, and I asked her, like, well, tell me, like, how do you see yourself, like, as a coach on a scale of 1 to 10? She was like, yeah, it's a 3, right? I just started. And the reason I asked that is because she already told me about her background. She's been teaching dance for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I asked her, okay, so I said, well, hey, look, tell me a little bit, like, if I would come to you and I said, like, can you teach me how to dance? And I want to become a pro. How long would that take you? She said, well, what's your goal? I said, well, I want to become a pro in 1 year, right? Long story short, she was able to tell me that how she would get me from 1 year, in 1 year to become a pro. And initially, it was from one session. I said, can we do one session a week? She said, no, well, if you want to really become a pro in 1 year, it's 4 sessions, and this is what we have to do. You have to do homework. You know, we're going to do this. And when I asked her, well, tell me, like, you know, have you done this with a lot of people? She's like, yeah, I've done it with hundreds of people. I said, what do they get out of it? She said, well, they become more confident. They become more courageous. They get more disciplined in the process. They build resilience. And she had a whole list of things. I said, well, what are you actually doing there? Are you just teaching them? She's like, well, no, actually, I coach them. I coach them through that process. Right. So often I think this is such a great example, like, because I see so many coaches that just go into a coaching school and then think they're a new coach, but actually looking at their background, there's so many things that they've done before. And with her actually connecting to the metaphor, I just left her with that question, like, how can you use dancing more in your coaching? How can you bring that into your coaching, whether you physically do that with them or just bringing the metaphor into it, right? And she sent me a message saying, look, this has actually just shifted everything for me. And I think that's, you know, we all have things in life. You know, maybe we've been driving for 5 years, 10 years. And at one point we had no idea, like, how can I look at the mirror? How can I change the gears all at the same time, right? But we've been through that process. And as coaches, I think we can do that with ourselves, but we can do that with our clients as well. We can just really look at, hey, what have we done already? Which mountain did we climb already? Which wave did we surf? Which, you know, where did we go from one city to another city? And there's so many metaphors that we can bring into our coaching that not only just is rich to our clients, but it can shift our own understanding of where we are on that kind of scale of how good we are as a coach.
Yeah. And I think the last piece of advice I would give is, wherever possible, work with your client's metaphor. You know, if they're a surfer, use surfing. If they're a mountaineer, use mountaineering. If they love driving, use driving. And it's so powerful. If you don't understand everything about it, maybe you can educate yourself a little bit. Maybe you have some existing knowledge. Maybe you just ask them about it and ask, what is that like? You know, are there some parallels between that thing and how you approach life? You know, you don't need to know the metaphor inside out. You can just work with it, given what the client brings up.
Quick question, just because you mentioned it, is can you recommend any, I feel like there is a particular book or reading on coaching with metaphors. Does anything come to mind for you guys that you can recommend?
No, I've heard quite a few people talk about it. My colleague, mm-hmm. Sasha van Dersen-Smith, she's a fellow existential coach. She works a lot with metaphor. She worked with a lot with creatives, but I think her dissertation was written about the topic of creativity and working with metaphor.
Okay, nice.
And I think there's an Animus talk around using metaphor.
Okay.
I'm sure there's books too. Sivash, do you know anything? Or?
No, I think there are books on metaphors.
So
using metaphors in coaching, but yeah, I haven't come across any specific one myself.
Cool, guys. So
Google it and then put in description maybe.
If people are listening to this and you know something that you've read, that would be great.
Please share. Yeah, that'd be great.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for being with us today. We really appreciate your commitment to growing and learning as a coach. We believe in the generative effect that this has on our wider communities, workplaces, and the world in general. Just a few things before you go. Firstly, we're doing this for you, so if you'd like us to talk about anything in particular, do send us a question. Secondly, we're not doing this for profit, so we rely on your help and support to reach as many coaches as we can. So if you can help us by sending this episode to a friend or telling a fellow coach about what we're doing here, maybe you can subscribe or leave us a review or even support us on Patreon. That would be amazing. And lastly, you can find us across all major platforms. Whether you like to watch or you like to listen or you like to download episodes, you can do so too. And that's it from us. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.